This podcast is a member of the WrestleJoy Podcasting Network. Visit WrestleJoy.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as interviews, show reviews, articles, and more, as we bring out the joy in the wrestling world today.
Good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Whenever you're listening to this, welcome to the internet's most sophisticated wrestling podcast, discussing the weekly aspects of it all, right here on
the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast. All right,
welcome back to the Bald Monkeys Wrestling Podcast. Once again, I'm Christopher, back with you. We got another special one today for you. We got the captain. Captain Chuckles is here. Hey, Captain, how's it going?
Oh, you know, living.
And we have, coming out of the South Bronx, but currently taking over the South, Ray Fury with us today. Ray, how are we doing?
I'm doing great, guys. How you guys doing?
Not bad, man. Not bad. We appreciate you spending some time with us, getting out of the house for a little bit, and then and having a quick talk, and really just finding out a little bit more about you. There's a lot of people that may not know what you're about, and I think it's time for them to learn all about Ray Fury right now.
I agree. Let's get to it.
So we start always with, what was young Ray Fury like? What was growing up as Ray Fury like?
Oh, man, wow. Growing up, I spent a lot of time outside. I stayed really active, you know, getting involved in any sports I can, you know, handball, basketball, football, baseball, just running out there and just, you know, playing all day until the sun went down.
I think that's what a lot of people, because if you didn't know, Christopher and myself are both originally from New York, so – We get that whole thing. I mean, that's what we did. Yeah, this is a New York theme show right now. Yeah, exactly.
That's all we did. We had games we played on the sidewalk and all that kind of stuff. We didn't have cell phones back then, so I lived in the best era.
No, as soon as the lights came on the street, that's when you knew you had to come home. I mean, that's the way my parents did it. When those come on, that's when you come home.
Yeah. They were out there with you, but.
So was it playing on the street? Were you playing stickball? Were you playing wiffle ball? Were you playing, like, what were the games out there on the street? Because I know what I was doing.
Yeah, so we had this game called, we used to play baseball with a wiffle ball bat and a tennis ball. We used to play baseball, and basically we just taped up wiffle ball bats to give it some weight. And we just drew a strike zone in the brick wall, and we would just play baseball like that. But we wouldn't play with no bases. As far as we hit it, we'll say double, single, triple, you know, that kind of deal. So, and then we took turns doing that kind of deal. So
nice. You grew up there. You grew up in New York. You're playing outside, going out all the time. Now you're getting out of New York and you head down south. What is it you miss about being back up north before we get to where you are right now?
Honestly, man, what I really miss is, like, friends, family, obviously, and the food. The food is, like, so much better in New York, and it's so easier to access than it is down here, you know. Any type of appetite, anything I had a taste for, I could just go get it, boom, quick, you know. I didn't have to drive 30, 25 minutes to get a specific meal, you know, so to speak, like down here. So it's a little slower, but, you know.
What's the go-to? What's the go-to meal that you want, that you miss the most, that you're craving right now?
Oh, man. I'll probably go get a slice from Artie's. Artie's is the pizza shop across the street from my house. And, man, man, listen, there was roaches in there. We didn't care. There was a rat in there. We didn't care. All right? He could dip his whole arm into the tomato sauce, and we wouldn't care. The pizza's that good. Like, you know, so that's probably the go-to. I'll go up there, go get a slice with a soda and call it a day.
Oh, nice. Man, yeah. There's nothing like a New York slice. I know we have the argument of the Chicago style and the New York, but there's nothing like that New York slice of pizza. So growing up in New York, you're a kid, you're getting into wrestling. What gets you into wrestling? What was the beginning of, wow, what's this? And I'm interested.
Man, immediately it was the Ultimate Warrior. As soon as I seen him, them colors and the energy that I just, the face paint, he just jumped out at me because I loved cartoons. So when I seen him, he looked like a real life cartoon character. So I'm like, man, that's my guy. I love him. That's my guy right there. You know, I don't care about anybody else but Ultimate Warrior. I was like, man, that's my guy right there. But I wasn't really a Hulkamaniac.
No, that was one or another, right? That was the two sides that were drawn. Yeah. So Ultimate Warrior was your wrestler, and he got you into loving wrestling. Who made you want to wrestle? Who made you go, man, I might want to do this?
Man, it was probably going to be probably Shawn Michaels, man, because, you know, growing up, I know you can't see my face, but I grew up, you know, sort of a pretty boy, you know, gel in the hair, always had a girlfriend, you know, so when I seen Shawn Michaels, I'm like, man, look at this pretty guy, and he's beating up, you know, guys bigger than him, so I took that like, you know, hey, that could be me, you know, I don't know who I was going to beat up at the time, but, related to him. I'm like, man, look at this guy. You know, use my language, and you know, he's the man. You know, so I definitely connected it with Shawn Michaels on that level, and I felt like, man, I was like, I want to do that right there.
Nice. Well, those are definitely two good guys to kind of model yourself after. You know, as you're a little kid and everything. You know. Thinking about wrestling, watching it, and getting into it. I know Christopher is he's somewhat of a big fan of Shawn Michaels.
A little bit. That's my guy. So we just connected there. I know this was not good with the Mets, but we just connected there. Oh. I appreciate that.
You would have told me that, you know, I probably would have not agreed to come on this show. But
oh,
it is what it is, man.
It's a good thing we kept that under wraps, but yeah. I myself am a Cubs fan. I defected away from the Mets, and I don't know if it was good for one season. Well, maybe two, but yeah, I couldn't take the Mets. But both of us have been to Yankee Stadium, Shea Stadium, Citi Field, the new Yankee Stadium, a bunch of different times. So explain to everybody watching. What is Yeet and what is the Yeet Nation?
Yeet, man, Yeet is just, it started out outside of the ring with me and some of the boys. It was just something, we'll just say like, Yeet, you know, like we'll see a girl walk by, Yeet, or maybe something uncomfortable is happening and everybody's quiet. So you just, Yeet. And it was just, and they'll break the ice, like, you know. So it started outside the ring, and then they started ribbing me and started saying it from the curtain at the locker room while I was wrestling. So I yelled it back, and I guess the crowd yelled it back. So I said, what? I yelled it again. They yelled it back. I'm like, well, I got to keep running with it. And every match after that, I started doing it, and it became my thing, you know. It's just been a calling, you know. Even little kids who can't say my name, they just say, hey, Yee Yee. Oh, that's Yee Yee, you know.
That's awesome.
It's easy to connect with me, I guess, from a wrestler to a fan in the audience. So I just kept running with it, man. I love it. I think it's hilarious. I think it's great. I just feel like if I was in that spotlight, that certain spotlight, you know what I mean? And I could just run with this Yeet thing and make thousands.
It's also like it's an uplifting positive. I mean, it's literally only four letters. But it's like an uplifting, positive little, like, Yeet. Oh, wait. Yeah. That makes me feel good. I got it. Like, let's go. Come on. So, go ahead.
I'm sorry. It just feels good sometimes. Like, I'll be going to a new state I've never been before. And My music cuts off. I'm in the ring. I'm about to lock up. And I just hear, yeet. And I just immediately just snap my neck. I'm like, oh, man. And that feels good. You know what I mean? Because it's like, okay, they know. They know who I am, you know? And from there, it's just it's easy street.
You got that little catchphrase that is like golden in wrestling.
Man, and growing up in the 90s, man, where catchphrases and slogans were so prominent, you know, in the Attitude Era, that's kind of, you know, that's kind of like been my thing. Like, I loved all the rock slogans and catchphrases. So I always felt like I wanted to do something like that if I broke into business. So I'm glad that, you know, organically came to me, you know?
Yeah. So explain to us where the imagination came with the Froggy Elbow Bomb. Like, where did that even come from to put those two moves together?
So, long story short, in training, I'm a big fan of top rope moves. And I was like, well, what can I do and what I can't do? And I was like, I always loved D'Lo Brown's frog splash. You know, I don't think enough people talk about it, but he had a beautiful frog splash. Mm-hmm. So I tried that a few times, but I was afraid to land on my belly because it's knock the wind out of you. So I would turn at the last second and I would just, you know, it hit the side of my body. And so, you know, I was recording it and they're like, hey, do that again. And it looked kind of like an elbow. So I was like, yeah, you're right. It does look like an elbow. I was like, well, let me practice a frog splash elbow and boom. I was like, I don't see anybody doing it. It's different. You know, I was like, let's try it, you know? And at the time I didn't have a finishing maneuver starting out. So I immediately latched onto that. It worked. It gets a pop every time I use it. So it was a no brainer.
And
AKA the F bomb.
That's exactly what I was going to go. I was going to say, what is it? So we had a discussion offline. This was a while ago about some top rope moves. And I said, man, it would be really awesome if someone could do a front flip into an elbow drop. And everyone was like, dude, no, there's no way. No one can do that. No one's going to do that. I said, no, I'm like, there's definitely people out there that can do that. And in my opinion, after seeing a bunch of your matches, you are definitely one of the people out there that could pull that off. So everyone that I talk to about that, you're wrong.
It can be done. It can be done. You got to land like precisely the right way, but it can be definitely can be done. And there's people out there I know who can do it.
Nice. So right now, you're on the independent scene. I mean, not literally right now because the whole world is shut down because of COVID. But yeah. You're currently the Elevate Pro Wrestling Champion. And now, and I term this, and it sounds like the title to a Lord of the Rings book, but the Year of Fury and the Five Belts. Tell everybody where else you are a champion right now.
All right, so last year I obtained 5 championships. First one is the Pro Wrestling Ego Styles Championship, which is based out of here in Mississippi. The other one is the Lost Art of Wrestling Championship, also based out of Mississippi. Their new promotion. I have 2 tag team titles, one for Revolt Pro Wrestling and one for Combat Pro, which is based out of. And I have the Elevate Pro Championship.
Nice. I love that picture. That's like the right on the top of your all Twitter page with just all the belts right there going, yeah, what? Come on. Come get me, bro. Bring it.
So, Ray, you got all those belts. You got all those championships. And I mean, and how do you stay motivated? Like, how do you keep yourself hungry for more?
Man, it's funny because I feel like 5, as selfish as this might sound, I feel like 5 titles is not enough. Like, yeah, you know, people might take a second look like, oh, man, he got 5 belts. But it's still not enough to keep yourself relevant and keep yourself in that discussion of one of the best on the indie scenes. You know, you have to keep doing more. You can't keep producing. You got to keep selling. You got to keep making videos and so on and so on. You can't just be content on what you already have, you know? Because there's some titles out there that they, yeah, a guy might have one, two, maybe three belts, but, you know, he might just be in a 45-minute radius of where he's at, you know? So sometimes they don't mean much. You know, nobody knows that they're from three, four different states, you know? So they just see the picture of five belts. So it still reminds me, like, hey, you still have a lot of work to do. You know, this means, because it can be gone just like that.
Yeah. No, it just seems like it's hard right now to break in, because it seems like there's so many guys out there and it's setting yourself apart from everybody else. So right. you got a good persona. You got a decent track record now. You know, how do you set yourself apart? How do you keep driving towards putting yourself out there? What's the goal right now?
I think the goal is location. I feel like I want to say I've tapped out where I'm at, because I feel like I've done a lot where I'm at. I feel like I'm in the middle. I'm in Mississippi, so I can hit Texas, Louisiana on the left and go a little up north and then hit whatever states are on the right side. But I feel like I need to move somewhere where I can have a bigger stage, so to speak, and have some new fresh matchups and continue changing my look. Because I have a saying, a philosophy that I feel like works in this business is either A, you're going to have to be really good in the ring, or B, you're going to have a off the wall charisma personality, sort of like the boogeyman, you know?
Yeah.
It's either gimmick or in ring. You got to have one of the two. And I feel like I have a little both. I have a really good gimmick with my my personality, my charisma, my connection with the audience. And then I can go in the ring as well, and I can switch it up. So I feel like I got a little bit of both. It's just, I guess, getting in the right people from the right eyes.
Now, you started out – sorry, Chris, I didn't mean to interject you. You started out as Dark Fury, and then you changed it to Ray. So what kind of prompted that change there?
Well, when I started out, they gave me the name of Dark Fury, the guy who helped train me. And it was supposed to be something temporary. It wasn't supposed to last. The mask wasn't supposed to last. It was just going to be temporary till I get my feet under me. And then I'll take it off and become whoever I wanted. That didn't happen, obviously. the mask got over. It got, you know, pretty popular around the area I was working at. So I was like, you know what? If it's not broke, don't fix it. So I kept the mask on. I never took it off.
So we talk a lot about in-ring and what you've been doing and what you've been working on and how you're motivated yourself. What are you doing when you're outside the ring? What keeps you busy? What keeps you interested in other things?
I like to spend a lot of time with my daughters, and I play basketball. I try to stay true to my roots and play some, you know, stay active playing basketball at one of my local gyms. So that felt pretty good playing basketball again after a few years of not playing since I moved from New York. So, yeah.
Nice. Yeah, staying active and staying motivated, and it seems like a lot of athletic things are what keep you happy and keep you motivated for day-to-day activities.
Yeah.
Sweet. So we had a couple of favorites. You know, we know you're a Yankees fan. We know that you want to get back to New York to get that good slice of pizza. But what is your favorite city to wrestle in that you've been to so far?
Man, wow. That's tough. I really enjoy working in Louisiana. I'm going to be a little biased because in Chaminade, Louisiana, where I captured the Elevate Pro title, those fans there, they show a lot of love and they're loyal. And I have a lot of people there who's been down with me since day one, since the first time they seen me. And just every time I go there, it just does disappoint. So I'm probably going to have to say Louisiana for sure. Nice.
Is there some place that you want to wrestle? Like, what would be, where would your dream match happen? In what arena, what stadium, what, wherever?
Man, a dream match, dream venue, I would have to say Madison Square Garden, of course. You know, everybody wants to wrestle at Madison Square Garden. And I just hear a lot of the vibes that LeBron and Michael Jordan used to get. You know, every time they go to the Garden, they try to put up their best performance, you know? And yeah. I, like the same way in wrestling, Undertaker spoke about it. Every time they went to the Garden, you know, it's just this vibe, this energy that you can't duplicate nowhere else. So I'm like, man, that's the Mecca. That's home, you know?
Yep.
So,
God willing, you know, one day I could perform at MSG.
So in that dream match at Madison Square Garden, who are you wrestling against? We're taking promotions out of it. You can pick anybody, past or present. Who would that be? We're taking the realms of reality out of it.
I'm probably gonna have to say 90s Shawn Michaels. That was is an easy one for me. 90s HBK before the retirement. All right. That's Shawn Michaels I want. I want the one that was hard to work with. I wanted the asshole. I want that Shawn Michaels. I want that. The showstopper. That's what I want.
Love it. So who have you wrestled so far that's been like your favorite opponent? Like you've had the most fun with this individual in the ring?
I'm probably gonna say Serpentico. He's another masked individual. He's out of Orlando, Florida. He's the head trainer at Team 3D Academy, and he just did some dark matches for AEW. So every time we wrestle about 5-6 different times, and every time we wrestle, it's always fun. He gets heat so easily. And a quick story, in Louisiana, I pulled out a little dust bag, and everybody thought it was thumbtacks. So I emptied the dust bag, and it was squiggles. It was gummy worms. I don't know if you know, but I love gummy worms, okay? I tag them all the time on Instagram. I'm trying to get the sponsorship with Trolley, okay? So, all right. So I dropped the gummy worms. He ran at me. I gave him a uranagi. Boom, right on the gummy worms.
Oh, nice.
And everybody popped. I thought it was hilarious.
It seems like everybody we talk to, including ourselves, wants a sponsorship with some type of food. I love it.
We're all grinding, man. That's it. Man, the hustle.
Man, everybody wants to go to GNC or a fitness or something that has to do with, you know, with wrestling. I'm going the other direction. I want gummy worms. All right. I want my face on gummy worms, but rapper. All right. Trolley, call me up. Trolley.
Get it, Trolley. Well, and it's funny because I saw on your website that you have what's called a Yeet box. And it's just a bunch of stuff that you kind of throw together. And I saw in there that one of the things was candy. And I was like, man, I wonder what candy he puts in there. Now we know.
Gummy worms, Trolley. Man, it's funny because usually when I go to shows, the fans know that that's my favorite candy. They see it on my story. I talk about it. They'll bring me candy, all right? So some of the boys started ribbing me. They call me a reverse pedophile. Instead of me bringing little kids candy, the kids bring me candy. I'll come home, I'll open my gear bag, and my wife would just see like 4, 5, 6 bags of gummy worms. She's like, oh my God, I can't believe you. So now last me face.
There you go. Last one of the favorites. Who has been your favorite tag team partner?
Ooh. Out of all three of them, I'm probably gonna say my current tag team partner, Lucha Licora. We fought so many times up and down the South for different promotions, and we beat the shit out of each other, man. We killed each other. He hits me so hard, he does not hold back. And so it's funny, when he approached me about being in a team, I was like, yeah, sure, let's do it. And that's who we won. That's how I won my tag team titles, was with him. So I guess they say, you know, better enemies, better friends, or bitter enemies, better friends. I forgot the saying, but yeah.
Keep your enemies close.
Yes.
So we got a good relationship right now.
Good. Do you have anything coming up on the pike, hopefully, once the world starts to open up again?
I do. I'm kind of keeping it under wraps right now, but I do got some things working out, and
we won't ruin it for you. You keep that under wraps, and if you want to know, that's a teaser. That's what we call a teaser in the business, right there.
I got some stuff lined up. I haven't really spoken to a lot of people about it, but I got some good things lined up. And I lost a lot with this COVID thing going on. I had a lot of good bookings for Mania weekend. I had a potential spot overseas, and I lost all that. So, you know, hopefully once all this stops, you know, we can really bounce back strong.
Yeah. So everybody out there, you know, we've said it before, just, you know, tweeting out things, go support these guys. Because, you know, as much as, you know, us regular people need it, these guys sometimes need it way more than we do. So get out there, go to Ray's website, you know, buy a Yeet box. I think there's only two left. I think when I looked at the website yesterday, there's only two left.
Hey, so, hey. But since this will be released after I get this, I actually have some Yeet watches, Ray Fury watches, coming in today.
Nice.
I can't
exclusive.
When you see them, you'll be blown away. Trust me. I got some nice watches coming out. So
nice.
Go check that out.
So the last question, probably the most important question, it's the question of contention. It is, are you a single stuff Oreo eater or a double stuff Oreo eater?
Man, you know,
we have the hard hitting questions here. I know
drama.
Man, this is tough because when I have the single Oreos, single stuff Oreos, I'll take two and I'll twist it off, and one with most cream, I'll twist off the other one and take the top with the most cream and I'll put them together and eat that. But when I eat the double stuff, I feel like it's a lot. You know what I mean? A lot of cream. So, man, if that makes any sense, it sounds like it makes no sense at all.
it's a one and a half stuff Oreo.
Exactly. It's a one and a half. So if I have to choose single or double, I'm going to say single. Just make it a
little. Man, we are getting killed in the single to double stuff Oreo conundrum.
It just keeps coming.
If I eat a double, I got to eat like one or two. Like I can't handle no more. But I could eat a few of those one and a halves all day long. I'm telling you, man. That double stuff, man, is a lot of cream. It's a lot of cream.
I love the double stuff. I mean, you guys can't see what's below here, but it's a lot of double stuff.
It's mostly double stuff below there, yeah. Well, Ray, we appreciate your time today. We appreciate you talking with us. Love to get to know more of the wrestlers out there. You mentioned the Yeet box. We mentioned the watches coming out. What else can people do to support you? What else can people do to go out and learn more about Ray Fury and support the cause?
Man, learn more about Ray Fury. Add me on Twitter, Ray Fury Official. I'm very vocal on today's events that's going on there. So if you want to get a little perspective on that, jump on there and follow me on Twitter. Also, a huge favor I want to ask, Virtual Basement is dropping a wrestling game for independent wrestlers, and they Impact Wrestling just pulled their whole roster.
Pulled the whole roster.
And I got guys tagging me and tagging Virtual Basement, hey, Ray Fury needs to be in. Ray Fury needs to be in. The Froggy Elbow needs to be in the game. I already spoke to them. I'm not on board yet, but with all your support, if you guys tag them and you let them know you want me in the game, that will mean the world to me. That will mean the world. So please, please, please tag Virtual Basement and myself on Twitter. Let them know what you want. Put me in the game. Yeet, yeet.
Love it. Ray, give everybody your website one more time.
Twitter, Ray Fury Official. Instagram, Ray Fury Official. And on Facebook, Ray Fury. And if you get on one of those sites, you'll find my Big Cartel website where I'm selling T-shirts, Ray Fury action figures, masks,
Yeet Box, watches, wristbands. I had bath bombs. Anything you could think of, I have it. I am your walking Walmart. The task swinging, F-bomb dropping, Masked Man Ray Fury. Yeet, yeet.
Awesome. I love it. Well, Ray, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it. And everybody, get out there. In the credits, we're going to have all of Ray's socials so that you can go find him everywhere. He said Twitter, Instagram, as Big Cartel. Make sure you vote or tell virtual
basement,
that you want
virtual
him,
basement, yeah,
that you want him in the game. So everybody get on that.
Love you guys so much, man. Thank you for having me on. I had a lot of fun, man. Anytime you want me back on the show, please, please do so.
Definitely.
We appreciate it, Ray. We appreciate everybody listening. Go hit that like button. Go hit that subscribe button. Go check out our other videos and get out this computer right now and go out and play in the outside. Go play some stickball or something, or go shoot some hoops. Go Mets. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Be good.